Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We just sung the song, Kirtan, beginning Nitai Gunamaniyama, which is listed in this book as Nityananda Mahima, the first in a collection of songs by Lochan Das Thakur. Nityananda Mahima means the glories of Nityananda. Does the word come in Tamil? Mahima? Yeah. Hmm? Similar word. So it's very simple to understand. Nitai Nityananda is my jewel of qualities. If there's no such conception in English. Nitai Gunamani. He brought the flood of prem, love of Krishna, and inundated the whole world. Particularly, he brought it to Gauda Desh, West Bengal, and he drowned all the devotees in the flood of love of God. But the rascals, they floated. They wouldn't be drowned. We're not going to be drowned in Krishna prem. That was their determination. However, Nityananda didn't let them survive. He made them drown in the ocean. All the dinahin, fallen rascals, sinners, and so on. And he gave to everyone forcefully. Love of Krishna, which is of a level rare even for Brahma. The limitless ocean of mercy. From that, Nityananda cut a canal. Or you could say that he is the limitless ocean of mercy. That's another way to read it. Anyway, he cut a canal. And wandering door to door, he brought a flood of the nectar of Krishna Prem. Lochandas says that my Nitai, whoever doesn't worship him, is knowingly, willingly committing suicide. No suicides here. Everyone has to take Nityananda's mercy. These lights, do you want the lights for the recording? No, we're going to put the lights off. It's a long-standing ISKCON tradition to have all the lights on in the daytime when it's not necessary and spend all the money unnecessarily and pollute the world. So this is a well-known song among Bengali Vaishnavas. At the back also, it can be put off. Three songs in particular, this one and another one by Lochan Das, Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda, right? And then one by Narottam Das, Nitai Pada Kamala. These three are particularly popular, but there are many others also. We're celebrating today Nityananda Trayodashi, the auspicious appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And we're also celebrating Varaha Dwadashi. It's all rolled into one. Usually Dwadashi comes before Trayodashi. That's the normal course of events. But today, those who understand all these things could explain to you how the tithis overlap and 2 days get merged into one. So, Varaha Dwadashi. He picked up the earth and then he flooded it with prem. So, there you go. Picked it up from the ocean of nescience and flooded it with the ocean of Krishna Prem. That is Nityananda Prabhu. We're very fortunate to be celebrating this most auspicious day in one of the pastime places of Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Rangam. He also visited here. He visited here earlier as Balaram. He also came. We have some record of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the 48 years of his appearance, he spent the first 24 in Navadvip Dham, his appearance place, apart from a trip to Gaya. But more, he was based there. And then for 6 years, he was based in Puri, but coming and going. And then the rest of the 18 years he spent in Puri Dham. So he spent most of his life, we could say, actually spent all his life in ecstasy, in Vrindavan. Anne Hriday Man, Mora Man, Vrindavan. For others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the mind and the heart are one, but my mind is Vrindavan. Anyway, superficially, it's not superficial, because Navadvip is non-different from Vrindavan. Anyway, the place he spent most time was Navadvip. Number two was Puri. Navadvip, 24 years. And Puri, 18 years. And bits and pieces. And number three is Sri Rangam. 4 months. So it's quite a bit less, but it is number three in terms of the time he spent here. And there is some record of his pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Sri Rangam. Although, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, that even one moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes could not all be written, it could not all be described by Ananda Shesh or written down by Ganesh, even in millions and millions of years. But some record is here of his pastimes in Sri Rangam, but there's not Nityananda. Maybe next time one of you can be born in Nityananda Leela and get all the pastimes down. Otherwise, just instead of reading, just go and join them, be with him. That's another proposition. So Nityananda, we don't know what wonderful things he did. In many ways, Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes, they're even more, what's the word, extraordinary in some ways than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. From the external point of view, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally keeps some level of decorum, respectability, but Nityananda, he doesn't bother with that. Sadvaitam Savadhutang, we pray. He's an avadhut, which he doesn't bother with worldly conventions. So he'll do things like walking into Nimai's house, where his mother and his wife are. Nityananda enters naked, for instance, the kind of thing he does. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him his sannyas danda and breaks it and throws it away. That makes the Suhotra danda authorized, I guess. But you know the fishing rod one? You take it, you don't know about that? You take it to pieces, yeah. Or is it foldable? I thought you took it. Anyway, it's not really authorized. So Nityananda, his pastimes, they are. What's the word? Extraordinary is too ordinary a word. It's become like an ordinary word. So, alaukik, not of this world. And we don't know what pastimes he performed here. He didn't care for any conventions. That's one thing in that is that he would go to even to the places of the chandalas, those who are rejected from respectable society, and he would go and beg them to chant the names of Gauranga. That's another thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to go everywhere all over Bengal and ask everyone to chant the names of Krishna. But he thought, why Krishna? Gaur is here. So famously, he would tell everyone, Bhaja Gauranga, Kahal Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Namare, Jajan Gauranga Bhaje, Shemara Pranare. He would go door to door and tell everyone to chant the names of Gauranga. It's time for Gauranga, Gauranga. You don't all shout back. You're not well trained here. Whoops. Must be the guru's fault. Didn't train them properly. So, yeah, Nityananda is the original guru. Balaram. First expansion. So, the guru teaches you to worship Krishna. Well, Krishna also, he can also be called Adi Guru, but Balaram said, you worship him. He comes as Nityananda. To teach us to worship Gauranga, Krishna, and the gurus in the Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they're supposed to be intimate maidservants of Srimati Radharani or associates of Nityananda Prabhu. That means they're mostly either in the line of the manjaris, the girlfriend gopis of Radharani, or the cowherd boys of Nityananda. But particularly, the gurus are identified with Nityananda. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that about, he said, my guru Maharaj, who is Nityananda himself? He wrote. So because Nityananda was ordered to preach by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself preached, but not as much as Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in ecstasy, and Nityananda was also, of course, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, you better go to Bengal and preach. I couldn't do it, you can do it. I left there, it was too much for me. I couldn't stay there, too difficult. But he ordered Nityananda, you go there and preach. So the name of Nityananda is very famous in Bengal. Actually, it's famous in many parts of India. Now it's famous in Tamil Nadu, but not for the real Nityananda, some rascal imitation. And over Mangalore side, there's also one Nityananda, but it's also, of course, a name for Krishna, means who is always blissful. Ha ha, Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi. He's always blissful in the bliss of love of Krishna. So we don't see in Nityananda pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bliss is often a bittersweet bliss. The bliss of pining in separation from Krishna. But Nityananda, his is more of an ebullient bliss. Do you know what that means? It means overflowing ecstasy, at least outgoing, obviously, bliss. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bliss, it's not so obvious when he's rubbing his head against the wall and the cheeks are becoming full of blood and it's not so obvious. But with Nityananda, it's a very, very obvious and very expressed, openly expressed bliss. I'm going to read a little from Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's a lot about Nityananda Prabhu in Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das was the last disciple of Nityananda. He was a young boy when he was initiated by Nityananda. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he recorded many pastimes. There are some whole chapters of pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. someone at some point around the end of the 19th century or early 20th century put all those pastimes together in a book, added a couple of chapters and called it Sri Nityananda Charitamrita, and put the ascribed the title to Vrindavan Das Thakur. It must have been the Nityananda Vamsa Goswamis who wanted to, they added a couple of chapters with their own ideas there. But the real pastimes are there in Chaitanya Bhagavata, and they're also there. It's a kind of trickery that you put the real thing and mix it up with the wrong thing. That's called cheating. Anyway, I'll read from translation of verses of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, the first section. Chapter 9, this is only a small section of Chaitanya Bhagavat that describes some of the pastimes of Nityananda. In this section, it's described Nityananda before he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was he doing? Well, he was, as a young boy, in Ekachakra Gram, in the Radha Desh, not Gaura Desh. Gaura Desh is the part of Bengal which is more or less, you can say, it's along the banks of the Ganga. And then the part which is away from the Ganga is called Radha Desh, not Radha, Radha Desh. So he was born in that place and lived there, and his pastimes are described there. As a young boy, a sannyasi came and took him away, and he was wandering with that sannyasi and later alone throughout all of Bharatavarsha. I'll read that as he... I'll start reading then, as he's on his pilgrimage. There's some important point we'll come to in the course of reading. Caught up in the fervor of his pilgrimage. Did you get a printout? No. It's Adi Kanda, chapter 9. I'm not sure which verse. I could give you the words, but there are two or three translations there in the Veda base. Anyway. Caught up in the fervor of his pilgrimage, the Lord, Nityananda, again traveled to Mathura and Vrindavan. He's already been there, now he's going again. Completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Sri Nityananda was unaware of the passage of many days and nights in Vrindavan. He forgot about eating and only occasionally drank a little milk if it came to him unsolicited. So this is the Ayachit Vritti, as described of Madhavendra Puri, who came to Vrindavan. And he wouldn't eat anything unless he was given food by someone without his asking for it. This was his vow to do so. Sri Nityananda could visualize his Lord, Sri Chaitanya, living as an ordinary boy in Navadvip. So at this time, Nimai was just a small boy, and Nityananda was over on the western side of India. So I may say, well, why didn't Nityananda go and join him immediately? There's a reason for that, which is now explained. He, Nityananda Prabhu, thought to himself, when Lord Gaurachandra reveals his magnanimous pastimes of congregational chanting and of the Lord's holy name, at that time I shall devote myself to his service. Because in the beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the pastimes of scholarship and pretending not to be a Vaishnava. So Nityananda was waiting on the Vrindavan side. He, Nityananda Prabhu, thus resolved to wait in Vrindavan and not proceed to Navadvip. He filled his days happily frolicking in the dark, cool waters of the Kalindi, Yamuna, lost in the mood of a young cowherd boy. At other times, he found inexplicable pleasure playing in the sands with young friends. So in Vrindavan, he found some young boys. That was always his mood, being a young boy. So, young cowherd boy. So he would play with the young boys there. Lord Nityananda was the original Lord Vishnu, and he possessed the absolute full potency to grace anyone with love of Godhead. So why didn't he do so? Why was he just living in Vrindavan and just enjoying the bliss of love of Krishna? It's described here, he restrained himself and waited patiently so that he could execute the order of Sri Chaitanya and profusely distribute that precious love of God to everyone. So he wanted to take the order specifically from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya himself could have delivered the whole universe, but he prayed for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. Let him come. He will give the order. Then I shall do. Not to show himself better. Ek Mahaprabhu or Prabhu Dui Jan Dui Prabhu Shave Mahaprabhur Charan. There are two Prabhus, Advaita and Nityananda, and one Mahaprabhu. And the two Prabhus, they serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So their Prabhus means their masters, they're worshipable, to be worshipped by everyone. But their own mood is to worship Mahaprabhu. So they didn't give love of Krishna to everyone, even though they're quite capable of doing so, without taking specific orders from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, feeling themselves as devotees, feeling themselves as servants, they feel that not only they're not authorized, but not qualified, not empowered to do so, until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the power. Lord Chaitanya, continuing the reading. Lord Chaitanya's associates did not desire to act without their Lord's instructions to guide them, nor did they feel slighted by taking a humble position. Yeah, Nityananda is the Supreme Lord. But he didn't feel that, oh, now I'm subordinate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be subordinate. He didn't feel like that. He was very happy to be subordinate. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a lengthy section describing how all the devotees are very happy to be subordinate, since to identify themselves as servants of Krishna, including Nanda Maharaj, Radharani, and particularly it's stated in relation to Advaita Acharya, to describe how he himself felt himself to be simply a humble servant. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva all carried out Lord Chaitanya's order to maintain, create, and annihilate this world according to their respective duties. Unfortunately, the sinful atheists feel unhappy because they cannot accept this point, and unseen by the poor Vaishnavas, they thrive everywhere. Yet Lord Nityananda is famous for inundating the universe with love of God. Vrindavan Das Thakur continues, Lord Nityananda is the original devotee of Lord Chaitanya. His tongue is the abode of Lord Chaitanya's glories. That's a poetic way of saying that his tongue was constantly engaged in glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vibrating incessantly the sublime pastimes of Sri Gaurachandra, one can obtain full devotion at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet simply by worshipping Lord Nityananda. Ah. All glories to Lord Nityananda, the primeval Lord. It is only by his causeless mercy that the glorious pastimes of Sri Chaitanya manifest in one's heart. So if you're reading or hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and you feel attraction toward that, then you can know that that is the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And by the grace of Lord Gaurachandra, one can become lovingly attached to Lord Nityananda. And if you feel some spiritual pleasure in hearing about Lord Nityananda, you can understand that's by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. All obstacles and misfortunes in life are extirpated as soon as the knowledge of the truth about Lord Nityananda dawns upon one. Those who desire to overcome the material whirlpool and drown in the ocean of devotional service should worship Nitai Chandra. Yeah. Many praise my Lord, saying, Lord Nityananda is like Lord Brahma, while others say he is very dear to Lord Chaitanya. I hear various opinions about him. So you can imagine Vrindavan Das Thakur was compiling this shortly after the disappearance of Nityananda Prabhu and all the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And their avatar caused a sensation. The amazing personalities. And people were going on among themselves discussing who were they actually? Just like we find in Krishna Leela, the residents of Vrindavan again and again, they're saying, well, he's just like our boy, but he does such wonderful things. Maybe he's a great demigod. Maybe he's Narayan himself. They're just trying to work it out. And then they forget because they get covered by the yoga maya potency. Yashoda Mai, seeing the universal form in the mouth of Krishna, she thinks, oh, he must be Narayana. And covered by his potency of illusion, I am thinking that I am the wife of Nanda Maharaj and I am the queen of Vrindavan and all these cows belong to me. And Krishna thought, come on, I just want to drink some milk. Well, I started crying, I want some milk. And she forgot everything and fed him milk. As Narayana, Krishna likes to be praised in that way. As Krishna, yeah, okay, but all right, maybe I am God, but I'm hungry, give me some. So what's Ranganath Swami doing here? Everyone's coming to see him. Four-handed Narayan, not right, Ranganath Swami, four-handed Narayan. Two hands, he has only two hands. Oh, maybe he's Krishna himself. Well, that's the proof. As one of the Jiyas, one of them down in the south, I can't remember. He said, yeah, actually, he was reading Prabhupada's book. He said, actually, your Prabhupada is right. You see, Ranganath, Krishna is the supreme. Ranganath has two hands. That's the proof. So he's the supreme Lord. With two hands, very peacefully lying there. We don't know what he does when the doors are closed. He might not be such a well-behaved deity at the time. So, some people say Lord Nityananda is like Lord Brahma. They're wondering, who is he? Who is Nityananda, Chaitanya? They just came. Who are these great personalities that trying to understand? While others say he is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, I hear various opinions about him. That he is a sannyasi, it's an opinion. He was a sannyasi. But they're not quite sure whether he was a sannyasi or not, because after all, he got married later on. He didn't bother following too many rules. They thought he was a sannyasi. When he came to Puri, Savabhoma Bhattacharya offered obeisance to him, thinking him a sannyasi. He's dressed like a sannyasi. although Srila Prabhupada said, commented once, he never officially took sannyas, but he was respected like that. And later he married. So some say he's a saint. Some say he's a devotee, very humble, nice devotee. Some say he was a very great Vedic scholar. So there are very different opinions. Vrindavan Das says, people conjecture without inhibition and stop at nothing. Some go to the extent of saying that his connection with Lord Chaitanya is not intimate. This seems to be, this is a repeated theme, especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that those who say that Nityananda has no relationship with Chaitanya, say, we like Lord Chaitanya, but we don't like Nityananda. He was too wild and crazy, and you know, don't like him. This comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, how he came to leave home and go to Vrindavan, was on the order of Lord Nityananda. We're at a Sankirtan festival. The Guna something was saying, I accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I don't accept Nityananda. And Meena Ketana Ramdas was there, and he became very angry. The brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Seems his elder brother, but you don't go against your older brother. But Krishnadas went up against his elder brother and said, no, you're wrong. They're both the supreme. You can't accept one and not the other. Accepting one without the other is the half-chicken logic. You have to take both. So Nityananda came in the dream that night to Krishnadas Kaviraj with Nityananda had a Shama, blackish form. He's generally described as having a golden form, but in that dream came in a blackish form and told him, go to Vrindavan. All your desires will be filled there. So in the morning, Krishnadas got up and went to Vrindavan. And it's by his mercy, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, he's by the mercy of Nityananda, he got the association of all the great devotees of Vrindavan. He got the shelter of Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. And ultimately he got them the mercy to compile Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Govinda Lilamrita is another very famous book of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, Vrindavan Das says, according to all these conjectures, Vrindavan Das says, none of these affect me at all these different ideas about him. See, if they say he was a great Vedic scholar, that's actually one way of lowering someone's status. Just like there was a prominent Gaudiya preacher who passed away a few years ago. He was preaching all over the world. And there was, at that time, there was one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples still present in the world. So, speaking about this prominent Gaudiya preacher, who he didn't mention his name. No, that was another occasion. He didn't mention his name, but he said that Sahajyarism is being spread all over the world. This, in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're speaking all intimate leelas. But another occasion I saw, he spoke saying, yes, he's a very good scholar. It's an insult. It's an veiled, he didn't say he's a great devotee. He said he's a very good scholar. But he expressed some dissatisfaction that he was speaking on intimate pastimes to people who are not qualified or openly. So to say, if we say Lord Nityananda, oh yeah, he's a great scholar, he's a great sannyasi, but we don't say that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if we say he's an that he has connection with Lord Chaitanya, but not so close, not very intimate. So these are all veiled insults. Just like if you go to the police chief and you address him, or you can use an army example. You go up to the general and say, general in the army, and say, sergeant. It's an insult. If you say to a private, call him a sergeant, he might find it as a, or call him officer. He's not an officer, he's a private. But you say officer. And in America, they have that habit of saying officer to every constable, and it makes them feel good, I guess. It shows you're giving respect. But to a sergeant is a position, or even a major is a position. But it's not as high a position as a general. So if you say to an ordinary army man, oh, you're a major, you feel, oh. But if you say to a general, that's an insult. So Vrindavan Das says, none of these are fit. All these people are making these speculations. I don't give a damn about any of them. For his lotus feet, I simply pray that his lotus feet remain impressed upon my heart eternally. So similarly, we may hear so many people have so many different opinions about Srila Prabhupada. Let them say what they like. Why should we bother? So many inappropriate statements. Why should we bother with what they say? Why the hell do we care what they say? So, Vrindavan Das continues. After repeated attempts to invoke good judgment in all people, if some sinful lot continues to criticize my Lord, then I kick them in their heads to save them from imminent disaster. In other words, you can try and reason with such people. No, Nityananda is the Supreme Lord. He's Balaram himself. He's the most intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you try and convince them and still they persist in not accepting that, then Vrindavan Das, he says, I kick them in the head. So when Srila Prabhupada used to say, kick them in the face, it's parampara statement. It's not something that he made up. It's coming from Vrindavan Das Thakur. And many anti-Vaishnavas in Bengal, they used to say, what is this Vrindavan Das? He's saying that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to be more humble than a blade of grass, and this Vrindavan Das is saying, kick them in the face. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that this is Vrindavan Das's great mercy, that you try to reason with people, and if they're simply obstinate and they won't accept, then give them the dust of, he will give the dust of his lotus feet to them by kicking them in the head. Even they don't want to take it, but they'll forcefully get it. There's nothing else you can do to pick. Nityananda is supposed to pick up all the fallen people. So on behalf of Nityananda, Vrindavan Das is ready to kick them in the head to save them from their imminent disaster. Those who misinterpret the remarks of Advaita Acharya Prabhu or Lord Nityananda as criticism of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because, Nityananda and Advaita would have mock fights. So those who misinterpret these remarks should realize that those remarks were in fact shaded glorifications of my Lord. Just like Nityananda would, when he went to the house of Advaita Acharya just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and then Advaita prepared a huge feast. And Nityananda said, what is this? This is just a few morsels. You didn't cook enough. It's a back-to-front way of saying you cooked so much. If you bring in a meal, and the first serving is for one person, one pile of rice like this, bigger even than the average Bengali takes. And you say, oh, you hardly cooked anything. That's a joking way of saying that, oh, you cooked so, so much. So if you take it as, if you take it literally, then you're wrong. Vrindavan Das says, he continues, all the Vaishnava associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally liberated. Here it says externally liberated. It's a misspelling, obviously. Eternally liberated and enlightened souls, what is wrongly understood to be disturbing arguments or abusive language used between them is actually one way they express their deep love for each other. An ordinary person is therefore discouraged from taking sides in such a mock fight. Can you imagine if two friends are, there's a saying in English, ribbing each other. Ribbing, it's the idea of poking in the ribs. It's making friendly insults against each other. So if someone comes and thinks that they're actually fighting, you take sides and then they get into an actual fight, and they're just stupid. So an ordinary person is therefore discouraged from taking sides in such a mock fight, for if he criticizes anyone, then he places himself in a precarious position. Just like there's one, apparently Srila Prabhupada once said about Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he is not a Vaishnava. Okay, it's a heavy, heavy, heavy criticism from Srila Prabhupada. And dozens of times that Prabhupada, there are not so many records of him actually praising him, but calling him actually for advice and entrusting difficult services to him. Oh, there is one time he said Tamal Krishna has some mystic power, how he managed to organize. So if you take one step, okay, Prabhupada said he's not a Vaishnava, and just forget all the years and years of how Prabhupada put faith in him and gave him very difficult services and also chastised him a lot, but he could take it. So it's like that. If you take the criticism to be real and the service that he did to be just a show or something like that, then that's called being a Ritvikvadi. That's the kind of thing they do. They always look for the worst side to support their bogus theory. That person, Vrindavan Das says, who is not critical of Lord Nityananda and who is steadfast in his spiritual practices will certainly attain the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, got that? That person who is not critical of Lord Nityananda. Of course, nowadays we can't even imagine being critical of Lord Nityananda, but obviously there was some issue going on at the time. And of course, if you dig hard enough, if you go in Calcutta University, you'll find some scholars who are busily writing stupid books, which no one bothers reading, thank God, about with all their different theories about Chaitanya and Nityananda, all. And they get a PhD and go to hell. So, but generally, the criticism of Nityananda it's subsided. It's practically not known nowadays. Vrindavan Das says, I intensely yearn to see the lotus feet of my Lord and Master, Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda is my absolute master. By taking shelter of his lotus feet, let me worship Lord Chaitanya. You see, he wants to go through Nityananda to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I greatly desire, Vrindavan Das says, to study Srimad Bhagavatam in Lord Nityananda's presence. This is my humble submission eternally. All glories to the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya. You are fully independent to act as you wish. You can give me the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda or separate me from them. I pray that you, my Lord Chaitanya, be merciful to me and grant that my whole heart and soul remain fixed at your lotus feet and at the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda. Nitai Chandra is devoted exclusively to you, so no one can attain his shelter without your blessings. So Vrindavan Das is known as a very great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu, But just see here, it's not exclusively Nityananda. He's always seeing him in relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that just Nitya and forget Chaitanya, and not just Chaitanya and forget Nitya, no. So some question was given to me. Can we worship Nityananda alone, or is he always to be worshipped with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or other members in the Panchatattva? Well, the first Gaunitai deities were not Gaunitai deities. They were Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda at Kalna, Ambika Kalna, at the house of Gauridas Pandit, where Chaitanya and Nitai had come for lunch, and then he told them, well, you just stay here. Now you came here, you can just stay. You don't have to go anywhere. You stay here and I'll worship you forever. He said, so they said, no, we have to go. No, you have to stay. So they said, okay, we'll stay here as deities. No, I want you. You stay. So they said, okay. They went on his altar. They stayed there and they walked away. They expanded themselves as the deities. And then he said, no, I want you, not the deities. He said, well, choose as you like. He couldn't tell the difference. So the Nitai Gaur are still there at Kalna. And traditionally they've always been worshipped. Nityananda is always worshipped with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At Egg Chakra, at the ancient temple there, there's Nityananda is on the altar with Radha, is it Madan Mohan? I can't remember. Radha Krishna deities. And Revati, Janava is Revati, so she's there. And at Egg Chakra now, there's a new temple being built by a certain upper sampradaya where they have a deity of Nityananda alone. But we don't have to take that seriously. As far as Panchatattva deities, is not very common. They're there at Srivasangan, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed. Otherwise, not so common. Actually, we say Panchatattva, but you are all members of the Panchatattva. You know that? Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. So, Srivas Adi, Srivas and all the followers, all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there's not really enough space on the altar for all of them. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda. So, Srivas stands up there and the rest stand down and worship him from below. So can we worship Nityananda alone? Why? Why should you want to? He always wants to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why should you separate him? We don't worship Radha alone. She always wants to be with Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question? Jai Nitai. That's what that particular upper sampradaya they like to say. Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Gaur. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. We won't say here. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Srila Prabhupada instructed us to chant the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his associates. What's your question? I couldn't hear. Could you please? Yeah. There are many statements like that. Ar kobe nitai chande karuna hoibe shangshara barshana mo kobe tujwalat. Yeah. Then Nityaya Karuna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. By the mercy of Nityananda, one can worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Then? What's that? Sorry, could say again. Some temples? Ah, yes. Yeah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. Yeah. In mostly here installed, not Gaur Nithai deities. So the worship of Gaur Nithai, that was largely propagated by our own Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, more widely worshipped is Gaur Gadadhara. Just like a Mamgachi in Navadvip Mandal, there's the ancient temple of Gaur Gadadhara. So Gaur Gadadhara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped with Gadadhara for those devotees who are aspiring to worship Krishna with Radha in Vrindavan, in Madhurya Rasa. And Gaur Nithai are worshipped by those who aspire to the Sakya Rasa. And that's also especially for preaching in this world. We worship Gaur Nithai. So yeah, he established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Nityananda won't be close to Radha as he's Balaram. There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that? Radha Bhava Bhishta Prabhu Hoilo She Murti Dure Nityananda Deke Korilen Astuti, which means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being absorbed in the feelings of Radharani, took the very form of Radharani. And Nityananda Prabhu saw this from a distance and offered prayers. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a commentary on this, which Srila Prabhupada didn't translate, and in which it said that because Nityananda was not qualified, anadikari hoye is the word as far as I remember, he could not come close. So because it's all part of rasa vichar, that the elder brother won't be there with when the younger brother's having some intimate relationships. That's specifically mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that on the street in Mathura, Krishna was there with Balaram and all the cowherd boys, and Kubja came, and she was pulling Krishna's cloth, saying, come to my... He said, I'll come later, not now. But it's specifically stated that she didn't consider that Balaram was there. You don't have intimate affairs in front of your elder. You have to be respectful in front of your elder brother. So that's a consideration. And of course, where there is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is all his associates also. But sometimes they manifest and sometimes not manifest. Yeah, sometimes it's said that the sannyasi who took away Nityananda's Vishvarupa, who is the elder brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes that's an authorized conjecture. Authorized means it's stated as a possibility. Yeah, you know, but you're just saying, putting it as a question. That, yeah, it's stated. I mean, I'm not going through everything here, otherwise we could be here all day if we have to discuss everything that's on record about Nityananda. So I'm just taking a little sample. Yeah. Vishwarup later merged into the personality of Nityananda. Yeah. Yeah, seems like that, yeah. Yeah. Exactly, I don't know, but he wouldn't have been 12 years older. He was old enough, when little boy Nimai was a toddler, Vishwarupa was old enough to be he was studying and was old enough to understand the teaching of Advaita Acharya. He would go to the house of Advaita Acharya in Navadvip and accept instructions from Advaita Acharya, and little toddler Nimai would be sent. He was old enough to be able to walk and call Vishwarup for lunch. But when Vishwarup took sannyas, then Nimai must have been an early teenager, something like that, because he was married at the age of 16. And already Vishwarup had accepted sannyas at that time. Exactly the chronology I haven't studied deeply. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.